All right. So who would like to start us off first? Again, if you jumped in here late, we're going to do a few praises before I jump into the study tonight. If God has done something for you this week, or you want to thank God for something this week, we want to hear about it. Just raise your hand. Got some people with mics, and we got one here, Brother Berto or Sister Courtney. And they'll come to you as soon as they can. Just a couple tonight, and then we'll jump into the Word of God. Sister.
Thank you, Brother. Sister Judy here, I have one unspoken blessing, but I also have the privilege of teaching the 3 to 6-year-olds, and it's just a blessing to see their little lights turn on, even though I don't think I'm doing good, but it's not about me. It's always about the Lord, and today He just blessed beyond all recognition in the class, and I give the little ones credit because it was a hard lesson, and they got it, and it was a blessing to God Almighty all the way. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. I know my kids are playing with their scepters, sister, at home. That's right. All right. Who else wanted to thank God for something this week publicly or praise the Lord? All right.
My name's Melanie, and like I said, I've been said pray for my daughter, and I went to church, and she's here.
Amen. Amen. It's good to be with family in church. Praise God. All right. Go ahead.
My name is John Patino. I was sick for 13 days with COVID.
Whew.
Glad that it wasn't that bad. But the best thing was everybody at work told me how much they missed me and how much I was needed, and that felt great.
Praise the Lord. The unintended blessing of COVID. They missed you. Praise God. All right, we got one here. Is there another? Okay. Go ahead, Brother Cruz.
So today came to church. Everything's fine. Went home, sat, just did regular, just regular things, watched a little bit of football. Then looked at my wife. I was like, babe, today's the 8th of September. She's like, yeah. I was like, it's our anniversary. She was like, oh, yeah. Bro, happy anniversary. I was like, right on, girl. So I'm just thank God for 18 years.
Praise the Lord for 18 years and a marriage where that's okay. You guys obviously have a good understanding and a healthy marriage. Amen. Any last praises? You want to thank God publicly or praise Him for something this week? Brother Akime here.
So, yeah, my name is Akime. You guys have been meeting me. I've been meeting you. It's been like 2 weeks since I've been coming, and I really enjoyed it. This morning, I was on that side, got to meet some people over there, and her name is Jordan, and she had brought somebody. Her name is Alice, and so she was from China, and I visited Singapore, and Singapore and China are very similar, like in cultures and stuff. And so we started talking about like how it's just a fast-paced culture, and Christianity is very hard to live over there. At least it's just not as accepted as much.
Right.
So I asked her about the good news, and she says, I don't know what that is. And so I started talking to her about the good news, and I told her how I got saved. But then because Jordan had invited her, I said, well, Jordan's saved, and I know Jordan will be able to talk like a lot more. But I got started, and then after I left, I saw Jordan continually like opening up the Bible and showing her. So I'm hoping that went well. I was praying for them, and I'm just glad that at least we got everything going. So that was such a blessing.
Praise God. Great job, Brother Kimei. And yeah, Miss Alice, and you got an opportunity to witness to her all the way from China. Praise God.
I'm Roland. My sister, she's like 2 years younger than me. She had a heart attack last month, but she's doing a lot better. So she's not still smoking cigarettes no more. She's eating better. And between her grandkids getting her stressed out. But she's doing a lot better. My cousin's got a brain, brain tumor or something. She's doing a lot better. She was in intensive care right now. But she's doing a lot better. Estella, she lives by Corpus. And anyway, them two, I like to give praise to the Lord for being there, helping get healed up. Thank you, I'm rolling. Thank you. Bye.
Amen. And we will have some prayer requests at the end of tonight too, so I'll try to remember those requests as well. Brother Urijah, something you want to thank and praise God for?
Yes, sir. Me and Bianca started teaching a kids class this week, and so I praise God for the opportunity and him trusting us with some responsibility. And I pray that, or anyways, I pray that he allows us to do well, or we.
Well, praise the Lord, brother. Hard, thank you for filling that spot, guys. Praise God. It's good that our Sunday school classes are growing. Amen. All right, any last takers? You want to praise God or thank God publicly? Okay, we got one in the back and one there, and then we'll jump into the scriptures. We'll do ladies first, brother.
Hi, my name is Jessica. I just want to thank the Lord. It's very early, but this week we found out that we're going to have another baby. And so this will be number 4, and we're excited, we're nervous, but we're thanking the Lord to basically partner up with him to create a new life and a new opportunity, a new disciple. So if you can, I mean, it's a praise, but it's also a prayer request. If you can just pray for me, pray for us, I'd appreciate it.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Another Jurgen on the way. Brother Jesse.
Well, congratulations, you guys.
Thank you.
I wanted to take time and praise God because my little brother, he's stationed in, he was stationed in Idaho, in Boise. So he actually arrived and moved into his new house here in San Antonio yesterday.
Amen.
So I just wanted to thank God for another family member living here in San Antonio. So thank you.
Amen. Amen. So I'm going to take a short time to just do a study here, and then we're going to break up in prayer groups to finish the service after we take some prayer requests. So if you have some prayer requests, I know some of us already kind of marked those. Be thinking about that in this service, because that's how we're going to finish tonight, is with prayer requests and then prayer groups. Okay? But before we do that, you know, one of the best ways to learn how to do something is to get next to or get beside someone who knows how to do what you want to learn very, very well. Would you agree? If you want to be better at investing, well, then it's wise to find someone who, you know, maybe has invested and done well and get to know them, get to be their friend, ask them questions, pick their brain, right? You know, if you want to learn how to get fit, right, you don't go to someone who's not fit for the answers, right? Or if you want to learn how to lose weight and diet, you don't go to someone who has no clue how to do that, right? You want to figure out someone who has done it, or any number of things. And it's no different in the spiritual. When we are talking about prayer, one of the easiest and most practical ways that you can grow in prayer is by getting with someone who knows how to pray, praying with them, but also learning either from books or from youth videos and different things you listen to, learning from people who have developed a prayer life. Some books that have really impacted me on this level would include George Mueller. This is the guy with the crazy stories that, you know, he has all these orphans in an orphanage and he prays and a milk truck crashes out front and now they have milk, right? Or a bread guy just felt, you know, for some odd reason he needed to bring his cart full of bread and now they have bread. That's that George Mueller. And anything you want to read about George Mueller on prayer will very much help your prayer life. All his books are online for free in PDF form if you want to read any of it, or you can buy some of it. But George Mueller, he definitely teaches you to keep an itinerary or list. He would have book after book after book of like what we would call bank ledgers, where for years he would record the prayer and then record the answer and the date, no matter how long it took. That's pretty amazing, would you agree? So you can learn from that, from him. I think of a man named E.M. Bounds. E.M. Bounds, after the Civil War, he was a Civil War officer. he decided to devote pretty much his life to prayer. He would get up in the morning and eat breakfast, and then he'd just start and complete his day devoted to prayer. And he did this for months and years. And from this experience, he was older in life, and so had that time to invest, wrote a lot of books on prayer. One of the most powerful ones is Power in Prayer by Ian Bounds. And man, I can't read that book without shutting it and going and praying. I get through like a few, what did I learn from him? You need to invest time in prayer. That's what you can learn from Ian Bounds. And there's many men that I could go on and on, books that have helped me, that can help you in the arena of prayer. But in the scriptures, in the book of James, and we're going to be in 1 Kings 19, but in the book of James, it says about Elijah, it says that he was a man of like passions, meaning he was like a guy like you and me. But he prayed, and for the space of 3.5 years, it didn't rain. And then he prayed again, and the rain, heaven gave the rain, and the earth bore the fruit. That's James chapter 5. So this is a man, I would argue, that we can learn what I would call power in prayer. If you can cause a weather event to stop rain for 3.5 years, who knows, you have some power in the arena of prayer, right? I don't know if I would pray that personally, right? But he had some power in prayer. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, we run into, 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18, and verse 42, we run into Elijah, excuse me, and remember, he's brought the prophets of Baal, right? And remember, they had that contest of the God that answers by fire, he is the true God. And the prophets of Baal, remember, they cut themselves, they jumped up and down. He gave them hours to try and call fire down to their sacrifice, and nothing happened, all right? And then Elijah, of course, you know the story, he drenches the altar with water, even though they haven't had water for 3.5 years. He takes what's that precious water, and he builds a trench of water to where it's just flooded. And he prays, and of course, what happened? Fire came down. Now, this is right after this event. This is right after this event. Look actually at verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Verse 42, so Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, the first thing I want to show you in this short study about Elijah and his power in prayer is here in verse 41. Look back at it. So, remember, God's just answered by fire. There hasn't been rain in 3.5 years. And verse 41, Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of what? The abundance of rain. That's pretty bold when you haven't seen rain in 3.5 years. Would you agree? You know what the concept to me here is Elijah knew that the God who answered by fire was also the God who could answer by rain. What am I talking about? The God who did maybe something before still had more to do. Still, he had this confidence that God still wanted to answer more prayers. Right? That God still had yet more to do in bringing rain. And so much confidence that he just tells Ahab, hey, you know, go get some lunch. There's going to be rain coming. He hasn't even prayed yet. That's pretty confident, right? Hey, you go relax. Rain's coming, and I'm going to go and pray for some. Right? The other thing is that I see in this verse is he says there is a sound of abundance of rain. You know, he wasn't confident that God was going to answer a little. He was confident God was going to send a tropical storm. Right? He knew that just because God had already done a miracle, had already called fire down from heaven, had already changed something cataclysmic with the 300 prophets of Baal being slain, with Israel saying, "Thou art the God, Jehovah, thou art the God." Even though God had already done that, he was confident God was still able to answer more prayer. God was still able to change and do more transformatively. I think of, to be honest, 2022. Debbie versus the health agency or whatever case that brought up to overturn Roe v. Wade in 2022. This was a case that should have never made it to the Supreme Court. This was years and years of legal action and of prayer. And we saw in our lifetime abortion at the federal level overturned and given back to the states, whether it could be legal or illegal. What is that? It's people that said, you know what, they've kicked God out of schools and maybe we lost that fight. They've kicked God out of prisons now. Can't have God there. Maybe, you know, here and there in a chapel service. But hey, that's okay. We can still pray and overturn something in our legal system. You know what the enemy wants you to think? Here in the next chapter, he says, well, the Syrians say God is the God of the valleys and not in the mountains. So we'll fight God in the mountains. And you know what I see this? It's this twist of, well, God works over here, but he doesn't work over here. Right? And how does this work in the Christian's life? Well, the pastor gets his prayers answered, but I'm not a pastor. Well, you know, that's something for like super Christians and, you know, those guys the preacher talked about in those books, but I'm not them. Hey, don't believe the enemy's lies. The God that answered by fire is the God that can answer by rain. The God that answered your parents' and your grandparents' prayers, that answered the prayers of the men who built this church, is the same God who wants to answer today in a different way, in a new way with you. Don't believe the enemy's lie that, well, you know, that was different. It was a different time. No, now is the appointed time. God is saying, look, I can answer by fire then, but I can answer by water today. I still have more. I still want to answer more, and I want to do it today. A lot of times people paint the you know, past with a gilded brush. Well, you know, God, I know you answered this way, and I know you did all this for my family, and I know you saved me, and I know you answered these prayers, but this is different. Have you ever had the enemy tell you that? Like, well, you know, you really shouldn't be praying for this because God answered this, but this is different. No, praise God. God is a God of different. Amen? The more different, you know what he said? Because the Syrians said that God is God of the valleys and not the mountains, and we'll defeat him in the mountains, God said, okay, wait a second. Because they said that, I'm going to defeat them for you and hand you the victory. God loves it when people think he can't do something. Why? Because then it shows it was God who did it. So we see that Elijah is confident that God still has more to answer. That just because God hasn't done it this new way doesn't mean God isn't willing and able. And he says, Ahab, go get some food, go get some grub. I'm going to go pray, and there's abundance of rain. You know what else I see? In verse 42, so Ahab went up to eat and to drink. Is I see Elijah takes a convenient time to pray. And Elijah went up to the top of what? Carmel. Okay. So this must have been maybe evening, supper time, the meal, evening meal. And this was a convenient time for Elijah to say, you know what? I'm going to go up Carmel. So there was this ultra marathon runner, and he took from base to the top of Mount Carmel. He climbed it in a record 1 hour, 30 minutes. Okay? The normal person walking up the Carmel Trail takes 4 hours. So that means somewhere between the ultra marathon runner guy and your average person, right? Elijah and his servant are climbing up a mountain while Ahab sits and eats a meal. But you know what? To Elijah, hey, this is a great opportunity to pray. This is the meal time. I can climb a mountain. I can get alone with God because everyone else is eating, sitting down and eating their meals. And you know what? The Lord loves it when Christians, we take opportunities to pray that the Spirit sees as strategic. That the Spirit sees as, man, this is a good time to get alone and get a hold of God. But our flesh, can I be honest? The flesh will never say it's a convenient time to pray. Any witnesses out there? The flesh is like a little toddler. Have you noticed that? Oh, when are we there yet? You start praying and it's like, oh, can I get up? Can I go now? Right? Help me. Anyone else? You're there praying in the flesh. Man, it's that little toddler. Oh, I need to go. You need to go mow the yard, or you need to do all these important things that didn't matter 5 minutes ago. Man, the flesh hates prayer. The flesh does not want to climb a mountain. Amen? The flesh does not want to get down on its knees and pray to God. No, the flesh would rather sit down with King Ahab and eat a meal. Can I get a witness? What is this? This is a principle that Jesus taught on prayer as well. He said to Peter, Peter, can you not watch with me in prayer 1 hour? He said, Peter, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Can I tell you this? To the flesh, it'll always be a bad time to pray. For the spirit, it'll always be a good time to pray. Elijah climbed a mountain. Elijah said, man, this is a great time. You know what? Can I be honest? Meal times at work were some of the greatest prayer times I've ever had growing up as a Christian. You know, you pick a time or you carve out a time and say, hey, this is my time. And to the world, they'd be like, man, what are you doing? And to your flesh, it would be like, man, can't you just like, you know, be scarfing down some bread or something? Hey, but that's okay. The flesh is weak. It'll always tell you it's a bad time. It'll always tell you there's better things to do. Just don't listen to that toddler. Amen? Just say no. Right? The flesh is willing. Our spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. So we see Ahab. He was confident that God could answer by water, not just by fire. He understood this was a great time to pray. This was a convenient time to pray, even if the flesh said there's no good time. Have you ever looked back at sports or training or running or anything physical you did and think, how did I do that and survive? Right? Like, I think of, I remember I was had this insane, like, literally, this guy, I don't know where he came from. I do, Ireland, but it was like a different planet this guy came from. He loved running, and he became our soccer coach in high school. And there was this mountain, and there was a sloped part in the back, and then there was a straight-up face on the front, and someone got the bright and beautiful idea to make a straight sand trail up the front about 20 yards wide and about 100 yards up, and it was about a 60% climb, and it was so steep, when we were kids, we would sled down it and go at like 100 miles per hour. Okay, maybe not that fast, but it was steep. And this little Irish guy, about 4 foot, but don't let that height fool you, he wanted us to run up this. And not just once, but multiple times. And not just during the fall and the autumn, during the hot summer days. And I took my wife, and we were revisiting Boise, and I drove past that, and Brother Cruz, I thought, how did I survive? Right? How did I do that? Can I tell you this? That's what the flesh thinks every time we go to prayer. I can't do that. That's too hard. Hey, just ignore the flesh. Spend the time in prayer. Right? And your flesh will look back and think, wow, how did I survive? But it does. It does. Don't give into it because it's always weak. It's always going to say it's not a convenient time. No, just pray in the Spirit. Spend your time with the Lord. If distractions come in, you know what I learned from Adrian Rogers to do? Just write those distractions on a list and then keep praying. You can deal with those later. But Elijah said this is a convenient time. And then in closing, not only did Elijah, he had confidence that God was the God who can answer by water as well as by fire, and then he saw a convenient time to pray. But look at verse 43. He looked for God to do something only God could do. And said to his servant, go now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass that the 7th time that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. You know what he's telling Ahab? Hey, you better start getting in your chariot now because there's going to be so much rain, it's going to flood. You're not going to be able to ride that chariot. That's what he was telling him. What was he doing? He was looking to God to answer a prayer that only God could answer. I was in Seattle at this pastor's conference, and they had us all get up and do the awkward photo, you know, where there's like 100 guys and you only see like 20 of them, right? And everyone else is just like a bald head, right? Or starting to bald. And so anyway, the picture's done and I'm getting off the platform and I bumped into this elder gentleman. I almost felt bad because I almost like bumped him off the stairs. I had to like catch his arm. And I'm so glad I bumped into him, literally. Because he started sharing with me that he was a pastor in a little town north of Portland. And he'd been there 42 years. And he said, he started telling me about all these things God had done with them. And one of the things he told me is that last Easter, they had an outreach. And they do this in 40 different parks over 3 different days. But they gave the gospel to 10,000 people. I said, I need to know more. And what he has done over the last 10 years is he rent all these parks. They rent them for Friday morning, Friday afternoon, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Saturday night. And they bring these, like, you know, whether it's eggs or a helicopter to dump eggs or something to draw the kids. And they sign up all these families like a month in advance. And they got 10,000 people to then hear a clear gospel sermon. And I asked him, why is it that more churches don't reach the amount of people that you've been able to reach? What is the reason? And he said this. He said, many times we look to what we can do instead of looking to only what God can do. We're tempting what we know we can do. Right? Well, I know I can do that, and I know I can do this. But he says, you have to start thinking, what can only God do? That would be impossible for me, but it would be possible with God. And then he said this, a lot of people are not attempting anymore to do great exploits for the Lord. And I thought, wow. You know, thinking back to Elijah, this is really the situation he's in. Right, he has stopped the rain, and he's asking God to start it again. This is only something God can do. But what is the application for you and I? We're not Elijah. We're not looking to stop and start rain. The application is, what are we asking God to do that we can't do, that only God could do? What are we asking God to do that's such a huge exploit that if it happened, everyone would ask you, how does that happen? Right? Let's get to that point, like Elijah, where we have that type of confidence in the Lord, where we find that convenient time with the Lord, but most importantly, where we're attempting and asking for things that only God could do in prayer. So we're going to take up some prayer requests now, and we're going to break up in groups. And is Bez Jr. in here? No? Okay. Well, if someone finds him, let him know. I'd like him to pray after the play on the piano after the prayer requests while we pray if someone finds him. But if he's busy, that's fine. But we're going to have some guys with the mics come down, and we're going to take up some prayer requests now. So now is the time for you to respond. Amen? Lost sermons, you got to go home and think about it. Nope, not here. This is your opportunity. So let's get our requests out there. I'm only going to take them up for maybe a few minutes, and then feel free. We're going to group up. You have to group up with at least one other person. If you want to do three or four, that's fine. But no lone wolf Christians in here tonight, okay? All right? Sorry, introverts. But you got to pair up with one other person after these requests, and we'll pray through these requests. So raise your hand, and we'll get your request. Again, we just got a few minutes tonight, but we want to hear your requests. If we don't get to your request, be sure to share it with your group that you group up with. Who do we got first? Go ahead, Miss Martha.
I want to ask prayer for my three sons at school. Liam's having a hard time getting back into school.
Can you hold it a little closer, sis?
So Liam's having a little bit trouble going back to school. So pray for him and the other two that they do well this year.
Liam and his school.
Liam, Bryler, and Jeremiah.
And, okay. All right, who do we got next? All right, we got one over here. Anyone over here? Okay. And I know, obviously, pray for my wife and I with Jessica's pregnancy. And just like she was asking prayer for God's hand on the health of the pregnancy. Okay. And then go ahead, sis.
I would like to have a prayer for my son that as an adult that he...
What's your son's name?
Better decisions. Lionel.
Lionel?
Lionel.
Lionel, okay.
That he would make better decisions and, you know, if he decides to relocate from my home.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, Brother Roland.
Hello, I'm Roland. I'm great. I'd like to pray for my sister. She's like 59 years old, and she had a heart attack last month, and she's doing better. She quit smoking. She's eating better, and I told her to walk around, exercise more. So I'd like to pray for her and my cousin, Estella from Corpus. She had a brain surgery. She's still in the ICU right now. And I'd like to pray for her and pray for everybody here at the Redstone Baptist Church. God bless everybody, and that's all. Roland, thank you.
Yes, sir. All right, now last requests. Okay, Miss Courtney, go ahead.
Okay, you guys know that we're, Joshua's in Oklahoma right now. We moved on Monday, and we're actually still in the process of getting everything out of the apartment, which has been not easy. It's been a awful week, just a terrible week. just mentally, emotionally, all of it, for myself and my daughter. So if you could just continue to pray for me and handling all of the things that I have to handle.
Yes, ma'am.
And then for Jenna, for her salvation.
Amen.
For her to understand that mommy is exhausted. And for Joshua, he is in, I think week 7. I lost count somewhere there in the middle. And he has passed 2 out of 3 of the tests for basic.
Yes, Josh, her husband's in Army Basic. For those who don't know, you could keep him in prayer. And he's about the halfway point, more or less, or a little farther. All right, pray for Pastor Bez and his health. Pray for Kathy, Larry, and their health. And then the young man who joined the church this morning, Brother Preston, he can use our prayers for his health. He's dealing with some health issues as well, if you could pray. Well, let's group up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's take as much time as you want. When you're done, just file out to the foyer, and just be respectful of those still praying here in the place. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, church.